So there's five areas of your prospecting cadence that you should seriously consider modifying, especially now that we're all going through this pandemic, all the COVID-19 challenges that we're being faced with. And this week on the Sales Playbook podcast, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 30,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our brand spanking new prospecting course, which we've designed to help you get through these challenging times with COVID-19. You can learn more about it by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/sell now. I'll be talking about it at the end of the podcast. But again, if you'd like to learn more, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/sell now. Now, let's get down to business. Today, we're going to be talking about the five parts of your prospecting cadence that you should really consider modifying during the pandemic, because these are areas that, you know, a few weeks ago were really appropriate and spot on for you guys, but now you really got to change things up because it's a different world that we're living in. And if you don't, you could really come across as really insensitive. You could come across as desperate and needy, and we don't want to have that happen to you. So let's jump right in. The first of the five areas is your message. Now, if you've been listening to me for the last few weeks, I've been talking about the extremes of the messaging right now. And both extremes totally suck. They are not good. They are not useful. And you have one extreme right now, and many of you have probably bumped into these thought leaders on LinkedIn that love to tell you, well, right now you should be giving and you should be helping and you should be being kind. Now, first of all, let's be very clear. We should always have been doing that. That doesn't change because of COVID-19. We should have always been providing value and being kind and giving. But you have one extreme where that's the only thing that they're saying you should be doing, you shouldn't be selling. The problem with that extreme is that you're not going to pay the bills that way. And I'm sorry to be selfish. You're also not going to help those people that you're trying to serve at the highest level. And why wouldn't you be helping them at the highest level? Because your solution costs money to be able to enjoy the premium side of that solution, right? I mean, it's not a free solution that you're offering. The people in your company that are depending on you to sell and bring home the bacon so that they can keep their support jobs, you're not helping them. So we have one extreme where it's this giving and there's no ask. We have the opposite extreme where we are sell, sell, sell. And again, it's incredibly insensitive. I think it's rather dicky to be just selling right at a time like this and not giving, not being sensitive. So I look at it again like two goalposts on a football field at opposite ends. One opposite approach is going to be give, 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 help, and add value, no ask. The other side of it is sell, sell, sell. Both of them, if we embrace the extreme side of it, are just equally disastrous. So what does the middle of the field look like? That's what I like to do. You got the extreme set up. What's the middle of that field going to look like for us? So one of the things I've been proposing is something that we call one-off, one-on messaging. One-off, one-on messaging. An off message is a message that is pure giving. Here's a resource for you. Here's an idea for you. Here, I want to introduce you to people in my network who should know each other. You know, here's a PDF, here's a link, here's an app that is going to help you work from home more effectively. You guys get the idea. That is an off message. An on message is a message with an ask. Now, what's an ask? It's your call to action. It's you asking for a demo, you asking for an appointment, or, you know, a Zoom meeting or a Skype call or a conference call, you know, a discovery or needs analysis, that type of thing. So the other thing, the beauty of one-off, one-on messaging is that you could also change that ratio. If you like what I was saying, but you're saying, yeah, but I think maybe it should be two off to every one ask, well, then change it up. And you could send two off messages to every on message. You could go three off messages to every on. But my whole point is, don't go and take an extreme side to this where you're just all selling or you're all in on the giving thing. Both of those could be disastrous to you. The only other thing that I want to say about your message right now is that there is this type of message that I've talked about now probably for about 4 or 5 years on my podcast, and I hate it. And the actual name of the email is called a bump email. Bump emails can be a very good thing if they're used properly. Most aren't. And what a bump email is that you send an email out, and you have software or an app where then you can have it set up that if you haven't gotten a response from that email, it from the sent file, it sends it again in a few days. And usually the message is, you know, haven't heard back from you on this. What are your thoughts? Or the message many times is wanted to give this a friendly bump to the top of your inbox. I just want to just remind you that at a time like this, it just has a way, even under normal circumstances, of like, hey, dumbass, how about a response? And that's not a good thing. And I think at a time like this, it's incredibly insensitive. It's kind of, it's assuming that they have nothing better to do, that they aren't scared shitless right now. They aren't putting out fires and everything else. So I'd be very careful of that. I would also be careful in your messaging about some of the templates that you've been using, all, you know, like the tried and true ones especially, because again, you might not have looked at those templates recently. And during COVID-19, they might be very insensitive. For example, there is a type of email that a lot of people love to send out, and it's kind of along the lines of, hey, wanted to see how your 2020 goals have been going or how the year's been going for you. And when you really think about it, when I get those, I almost want to say, are you effing kidding me? My entire year in training has been turned upside down. I mean, you know, so you're probably not going to get a very good response to that. And it might come across, again, as somebody who's not keeping up. You know, like who's kind of in a bubble right now, not keeping up on the challenges that we're all facing. So number one is the message. Number two is the vehicle. The vehicle is the method by which we use to deliver the message. In other words, the platform. Are we using phone? Are we using email, snail mail, that kind of thing. You know, a lot of people right now and always have used phone and email. My feeling in sales and in life is that I like to visualize a pack that likes to run in certain directions. Sometimes it's a trend. The pack runs toward that trend or that new flashy type of approach. Everybody starts running toward the new flashy approach. The thing is about packs and when they're running, I like to stick around and see what the pack has missed. And eventually I'll catch up to the pack. But right now, while the pack is running toward email and phone, I want to let you know that a lot more decision makers are popping up on LinkedIn. And you might want to pop over there. And I've had just in the last few weeks, people that I just haven't heard from in years, even when I've reached out to them on the platform, suddenly are reappearing because they have the time again to put into it. The other beautiful thing about LinkedIn is that there aren't any decision makers over there. So, there are plenty of decision makers. There aren't any gatekeepers. I'm so sorry. You're not going to have to get stopped by a gatekeeper when you approach a decision maker over on LinkedIn. You also have functionality with a lot of different types of vehicles. Over on LinkedIn, through the messaging feature, you can send a voice message to someone. You can embed a video over on that platform easily. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, somebody with a degree in engineering to do it. The other thing that you might want to consider in terms of a vehicle is snail mail. When you're calling up some of these potential clients, one of the questions that I would be asking, and I would kind of preface it and have a little fun with it, and just kind of along the lines of, as you're winding down a call that maybe didn't go anywhere for you, or they wanted additional information, and let's say you're speaking with Mary. Hey, Mary, before you go, I'd like to send you something. And I realize that you're probably like the rest of us. You're working from home. I promise you, I'm not a creep. I'm not going to send you anything, scary or anything like that. But, what's your address so I can send you something? Now, the reason why we're doing that is because I think that because we've all been confined and cooped up, that we're going to appreciate something, especially something lighthearted and funny and witty and human through the mail. Because I can tell you, in case you guys didn't know this, but direct mail is down dramatically. I mean, it's scary levels to the point. I know that the post office was basically recently pleading with the government for additional funding, for bailing them out, because that's one of the things that's been happening with COVID-19. Less people are mailing things. So I want to invite you to do that, but I want to just tell you something. I was on the receiving end of something very kind that came through snail mail. Now, it may seem like I'm making light of this. I don't want you to think that I'm just intentionally making light of something that might be more serious than it is. But, I had said over on LinkedIn the other day that my wife had been diagnosed with COVID-19. First it was pneumonia, then it was COVID-19. Now, we kind of expected it because she works in a hospital, and I'm here to tell you she's doing great. She's on, she's completely on the mend. She's back to breaking my balls about how many cigars I've been having, and she's up and about, but she just has to, we have to isolate. And, she'll be at one end of the house for most of the day. I'll be at the other end of the house. And, that's kind of that. But again, I'm not downplaying it. But she truly is okay, and I'm okay, and, we're very fortunate because she didn't have to go to the hospital, and she responded very well to the medication that she was given. But I had put up a thing on LinkedIn, not to get sympathy likes or anything else, but to just simply tell people, hey, a lot of the things that people are telling you to watch for aren't necessarily accurate. My wife was told the following things and, had check marks next to all of them. And still, it turned out she had had this for a few weeks. And she works in a hospital and they missed it. So I was trying to tell people, hey, watch out for these things. And I received a really nice, caring, handwritten note that I want to give a very quick shout out to Rich Weatherby. And he sent a handwritten note. And I just want to just say to Rich and to say to everybody listening, it meant a lot. It really did. Because what's the typical way if somebody posts something on LinkedIn that you would respond? Probably publicly, or maybe if you're a little different, maybe you'd inbox somebody and say, hey, I didn't want to say this publicly, but, hey, I'm really sorry to hear that, or whatever. But Rich took the time to write a note. And I'm here to tell you that doesn't just count when you come across somebody who a family member has COVID-19. It also is in those little alerts that we get on LinkedIn that it's somebody's birthday, it's a work anniversary, congratulate them on a promotion, that type of thing. But I think now more than ever, these human acts of decency stand out head and shoulders above the rest of the efforts that we're doing. And again, I share that with you so that maybe you'll start embracing this idea of changing up the vehicle. So that brings us to number three, the space between attempts that we're making. I've never been a fan of bombarding people with messaging. This is not the time to bombard people with messaging. I think it'll come across as insensitive. I think it'll come across as needy and desperate, and at a minimum, a pain in someone's ass. I think you need to give each attempt a chance to breathe. And I know that there are several thought leaders out there who preach this approach, and one of the approaches is called the trifecta. And I've never been in favor of it, even though the person who's pioneered it is brilliant, man. I love, his perspective on sales. I just completely disagree with him on this. That, and this idea of the trifecta is you leave a voicemail message, then immediately afterwards, you hit them with an email referencing the voicemail message. And then you go over to LinkedIn and you message them over there referencing the other two attempts. The problem with that is, again, it's desperate, it's needy, and it's a pain in the ass. And right now, at a time like this, I think it again says to somebody, hey, you know, why the hell aren't you getting back to me? I mean, you know, I'm completely insensitive to the fact that someone in your family could be sick. You could be sick. You could be worried about getting laid off. You could be putting out a million fires. So now is not the time to bombard people with excessive messaging. The other thing that I want to say, and it's something I've been saying since 2008 when I first started blogging, is whatever you say and do repeatedly and consistently over time becomes associated with you. And it's repetition, therefore, is the mother of brand. In other words, how people will see you. Whatever you're doing over and over and over again, over time, consistently and repeatedly, becomes it's associated with you. So if constantly you're doing things that make you look needy and desperate and a pain in the ass, it becomes, in a way, like word association. They see your name in their inbox. Oh, there's that pain in the ass Castain again. They see you on the caller ID. Oh, there's that pain in the ass. There's that needy bastard Castain again. You guys, and you know you do it too. This isn't just something exclusive to decision makers. You've done this with loved ones. You see them on the caller ID. Oh, you know, every time I get on the phone with Jane, it's 30 minutes, shit, right? I mean, this is what happens. Whatever you do repeatedly, consistently over time becomes associated with you. So you really have to think, well, how is it that I want to come across to people? And if you don't want to be perceived as a pain in the ass, don't hit them with three messages in one day. That shit was old before COVID-19. Right now, it is, you know, as... as they say in my favorite cartoon, Archer, I don't know if there's any Archer fans, but, you know, completely inappropriate, no good. So this brings us right now to, and again, and forgive me right now, I don't know if I said this already, but number four is the amount of attempts that you're making. And it's really the same thing as item number three, the space between these. Well, the amount of attempts that you're making. Now, one thing I want to say about the amount of attempts that you're making. Again, all of these areas, you could easily set up goalposts with completely polar opposite belief systems, right? So we have on one end, with the amount of attempts, just very few attempts. And some of you right now are suffering on this side of the goalposts. You're on the side of not enough attempts. Maybe you feel funny picking up the phone. Maybe you feel like this isn't the time. I'm here to tell you that one of the best ways for you to let people know that you're in business is by conducting business. Seriously, I could tell you all day long I'm in business, but they need to see for themselves, right? That's how we are as human beings. We need to see it and experience it to believe it. But we have the opposite end of it, where I'm a complete pain in your ass. So we don't want to do that either. So my advice to you would be to understand something. We no longer live in a world where people can hear our offering once and get it and embrace it. That was my philosophy before COVID-19. Now I believe people have to hear things repeatedly. And again, over time, much like that branding thing I was talking to you about, we need that repetition in there. So the amount of attempts, to me, should be there should be several attempts, but it should be spaced out in a way that doesn't position you as a pain in the ass and needy. Last but not least, how long you're going to pursue a particular prospect. I see extremes here too. I see people giving up too soon. I think that, you know, you have one bad experience with a particular prospect, they blast you, like, how dare you should be prospecting during a pandemic. Meanwhile, the company has ads up, and they have a sales force out there. But God forbid you should be trying to sell them, right? You can kind of cut the hypocrisy with a knife, but you have one bad experience where somebody gives you an earful of shit, and you tap out. But then we have the opposite with this. And we have the opposite, where we're pursuing people too long that really at the end of the day are never going to give us the yes that we want. And we're using time, energy, and resources on somebody who is not going to give us that yes. That would be better redirecting that energy and resources and efforts and time on somebody that's going to give you the damn yes. But how do we know, right? So my suggestion here is a good compromise. And we call it the cool down, heat up approach. After you've made an honest attempt, and an honest attempt isn't once or twice or three times over the course of 1 to 2 weeks, there's no possible way that you could make that determination after 1 to 2 weeks. But after you've given this an effort over time and you've exhausted your cadence, which should be something that is not exhausted after even 2 or 3 weeks, that lasts at least a few months, at that point, why don't you cool it off and either stop communicating for a while or just kind of change the frequency of contact? So if you're on a once a week or a once every other week, maybe bring it to once a month or twice a month or, you know, a few times in a quarter. But that's the idea behind it. So again, the cool down, heat up approach is a nice compromise for you. And there you have it, folks. Let me run through it again. The 5 parts of your prospecting cadence that you should be looking at right now and challenging and talking about with your sales team. This would be a great sales team meeting for you guys. Take it one piece at a time. Would be your message, the vehicle. In other words, how are we getting that message out there? Are we doing it through LinkedIn, snail mail, email, phone, text message, that type of thing. The space between attempts, the amount of attempts that you're making, and then last but not least, how long you're going to pursue a particular prospect. And that's basically it, folks. Now, if you found value in this and you'd like to come join us this Tuesday, April 14th, we're launching a course that I think is very timely and very appropriate because I've designed it to help you prospect through COVID-19, where we're going to change everything up, the messaging, the places that you should be hunting right now, just the cadences that you're using. In fact, I've designed 3 complete cadences, complete with the phone scripts, the templates, the vehicles that I think you should be using right now. And there's actually 25 templates, over 100 prospecting tips, and there's going to be 4 60 to 75 minute sessions right in the comfort and safety of your own home. And the way it works, folks, is that, again, we're going to kick off this Tuesday, April 14th, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And the way it works is that I always have each session live. You're welcome to join us live, or if for whatever reason you can't make it, or maybe you can't stay the whole time, or if you can make it and you'd like to go back for seconds, I record each session and send out the replay an hour later. So if you'd like to learn more, I think this is one that you should consider joining us on, because I've loaded it up with a lot of extras, a lot of freebies, and again, there's going to be a lot of feedback that you're going to be getting from me, because each session is going to have a homework assignment. And last but not least, I've reduced the price on this one because I know it's tight out there for a lot of you that are listening. So if you want to learn more, this is definitely not one to procrastinate on. Visit us and have a look for yourself, yoursalesplaybook.com/sell now. All one word, all lowercase letters, yoursalesplaybook.com/sell now. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com, wishing you all happy Easter, a happy Passover, and I hope you're all well and safe. Looking forward to talking to you guys when this is all behind us. Talk to you soon. God bless.